Power up fall projects with Ego at Lowe's. Every tool delivers power beyond belief. So whether it's leaves, limbs, or lawn cleanup, count on Ego to deliver the power, performance, and innovation you need. And now for a limited time, save up to $60 on select blowers, chainsaws, and pole saws. Shop Ego today at Lowe's. Offers valid through 10-1 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I am Gaius. Germanicus is here. This is a live broadcast from Londinium, where it is a chilly spring evening. The Thames is okay, but it could be calmer. There's wind. The Centurions are still with us, and it's fun to talk to them about their previous campaigns. They're all retired now, and they reflect on their successes. It is 91 A.D., Domitian, each week I remind you we have an emperor who's inadequate. The Senate's very angry with him. That will eventually move to an assassination plot that's successful, but not yet. Germanicus and I spend most of our time talking about the 21st century. Occasionally, as we will today, we address some aspect of our century. We're also going to speak today of the 4th century AD, which is arguably the last of the empire, the last successful century of the empire. After that, it becomes a little dodgy. It's an argument, though. I don't charge into it. I just mention. We're going to spend some time about the 4th century and how it has echoes in the 21st century, especially in the U.S. Congress, which fancies itself a republic. Germanicus, a very good evening to you. Thank you for joining a conversation about headlines from the 21st century. When last Germanicus and I were able to speak in this unusual fashion from the 1st century AD to the 21st century AD, we were on the eve of a promised phone call between the President of the United States, Mr. Trump, and the President of the Russian Federation, Mr. Putin. Well, that phone call did go forward. We were told by the readouts in both camps that it lasted 2 hours, that it was generally jovial, and talked about investment in Russia post-Ukraine war. There was no resolution about the conflict. And afterwards, to characterize it quickly, Mr. Trump said, "Europe, this is your problem. You settle it." Speaking, of course, to London, to Paris, to Berlin, to Rome, to other capitals of the European Union and NATO. And that was the last Mr. Trump had to say about it so far. Where it's a week later, new things could come up, but we've got headlines out of Europe, Reuters reporting, for Germanicus to comment on. You will recall Germanicus has been very confident in his measure of the Ukrainian-Russian war for some months, years, and there's no reason to change on the basis of these headlines. Russia launches war's largest air attack on Ukraine, kills at least 12 people, and then Russia and Ukraine swap 307 soldiers on second day of POW exchange. And then German minister, more sanctions against Russia needed deep concern. And then ex-army chief of Ukraine army says Ukraine cannot hope for a miracle to restore 91 borders. And then finally, what we're looking at right now is a large, large plume of smoke rising from Kyiv after the Russian attack. So Kyiv is burning, according to the Reuters report, in these last hours. Germanicus, I turn to you because the inability of Europe to settle this very much reminds us of the troubles of the 20th century, which we thought at the end of the 20th century we had escaped, at least in terms of ideology. Russia was capitalist. East Europe was capitalist. Yes, there were exceptions, but at that point it looked very much like the People's Republic of China was moving in a capitalist fashion. So no ideological fervor on either side. And therefore, we presumed that the markets would settle it. But here we are, watching Europe one more time, unable to answer its own troubles, its own problems that it has known about for at least 200 or 300 years, which is the factionalism around the Russian Empire. So right now, how do you measure, a week after that phone call where Mr. Trump said, "You guys do it," how do you measure the Ukraine conflict? Good evening to you.
Good evening, Gaius. The move that Trump made, namely to begin to cast himself and by extension the United States off of the outcome of the conflict, is potentially an adroit move, depending on how he follows up, in large part because he was in danger of getting boxed in. He had announced, declared, trumpeted that he would end the war right away. Then he discovered that it was complex. And he discovered something else as well. In spite of his desire to end the war, it is extremely difficult for the main protagonist, the main instigator, if you will, of the war over the course of the decade, near decade, 2014 to 2022, would then, that is to say the U.S., be a mediator in a war in which it was one of the biggest, if not the biggest, participant on the belligerent side assaulting Russia. And to avoid getting sucked into being the owner of the war, as it were, the baton of marshal of the war being passed from Mr. Biden to Mr. Trump would be unbearable. It would unravel the Trump presidency, and it would make a mockery of all of his goals, even his vision. So to withdraw allows him to hand the entire tar baby off to our NATO allies. And then they become the protagonists. They become the main belligerent against Russia, continuing to funnel weapons and aid to Ukraine. And at that point, the U.S. president can wait until there is a Russian breakthrough, or alternatively, or maybe both, a breakdown of the Ukrainian war effort, in which case the U.S. can then insert itself to help broker a peace. But it is essential that the U.S. not own the war in terms of the allied or coalition side, the Ukrainian side, and be in a position where it takes responsibility.
Do you agree that Mr. Trump has achieved that? We do not own it. We do not have a part in it. They're not going to say who lost Ukraine.
No, because he's made that point emotionally. Yeah. And that should stick as long as there isn't continuing reversal policies stated, which is what happened under Mr. Biden. You recall Mr. Biden said, "This man must go," early on in the war, and then that had to be walked back. And it happened again and again and again, but that isn't going to happen this time. As long as he continues to pull back and withhold the U.S. from continuing involvement, and that could mean a lot more than just supplying arms. Obviously, it means supplying C4ISR, it involves planning operations, et cetera, et cetera. If all that is done, then I think the U.S. will be in a good position to step in. And I'll tell you what Mr. Trump wants, because it's very clear. He would like to be able to step in after Ukraine has been defeated on the battlefield and then broker a peace that ends the war on balanced terms. Balanced meaning the nature of the situation on the front at that time, just like Theodore Roosevelt did as president in 1904 in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, brokering an end to the Russo-Japanese War. And it was a very fair settlement in the sense that Russia, the loser in the war with Japan, had been decisively beaten. And yet he was able to salvage things that made it appear to be a fair settlement given the war situation at its termination, that is to say, at the war's termination. And for that, he got the Nobel Prize. Well, here is the goal of the successor president, Mr. Trump, and it is a goal within reach. And I think that this could be the outcome of the war. But it first requires that the president pull out, really, and say, oh, this was never my war, and it wasn't. It was Mr. Biden's war. And before that, to some extent, Mr. Obama, but it was really Biden's war because, as you recall, President Obama gave Mr. Biden the portfolio for Ukraine way back in his presidency before 2014. And Mr. Biden was the guy who oversaw all of the intrigues and machinations that actually led to the war escalating in 2022.
All right. So what we have here is a stand down by the Trump administration. You guys do it. They're not evidencing any energy to solve it. Are we looking at the breakup of Yugoslavia again? The breakup of Ukraine, would that be an acceptable outcome? We have a couple of minutes before we move on.
Well, the Ukrainian civil war, which is to say, if you want to compare it to Yugoslavia, is much more straightforward. Yugoslavia was six or even more, depending on how you want to slice things.
It's still a mess. It's still a mess.
National identities.
Yeah.
And it was impossible. It hasn't still been, it still hasn't been solved, RE Kosovo or Bosnia. But this is a straightforward split in Ukraine. You have Russian Ukraine, and then you have the other Ukraine, which itself is somewhat amorphous. And I think that a solution to this is to find a settlement, and a Russian victory will have the virtue of forcing Ukraine to desire to come to terms. That's the main utility of a Russian victory now. It's not necessarily in taking more territory. And Russia, meaning Mr. Putin and the Russian people, do not want to hurt Ukraine any more than they have to be honest. But there does have to be a settlement, and a settlement requires a Russian victory. That's just the reality of the situation.
Are we closer to it, Germanicus?
We're closer every day. I mean, yesterday there was a large breakthrough. Russia has reached a point where it is now inserting itself between the ever dwindling and shrinking forces of Ukraine, and it is making bigger and bigger gains on the battlefield all along the line of contact. And at some point, that's going to start to unravel. But, you know, as we've said week by week, that is not possible to predict precisely. I believe it will be happening within the course of the summer into the fall. But that's just a feeling.
Germanicus Michael Vlahos. I am Gaius John Batzler. We're in Londinium. It's a cool evening, and we've enjoyed ourselves talking to the Centurions about their campaigns. There is nothing especially new on the Ukrainian front, although we repeat ourselves just because the Europeans refuse to move. Now, there's a big NATO meeting coming up, and I believe it's in the Netherlands, Holland, in these next weeks, July, I believe. And we'll see who takes the lead there, if anyone. It's not clear that they even want to take the lead. I think Europe would like the U.S. to take care of this, but Mr. Trump's been definitive. He can change his mind, but it certainly doesn't look that way right now. We're going to turn ourselves to the U.S. Congress. And Germanicus and I have been debating the 4th century A.D., the end of the Roman Empire, the early Roman Empire, and the Well, what happens in the 5th century is Attila the Hun. Okay. Before that, we're going to speak to the power of the Senate in relationship to the emperor after the empire is Christianized by Constantine. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.